Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Micro Brew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Spring training preview edition is here. We are 1 week away from the start of spring training down in Arizona. The truck is on the road. The racing sausages have sent them off on their way. And the Milwaukee Brewers are, you know, about to get going, I guess. You know, this is always the time of year where people are excited about real baseball. We're still a long, long way from actual tangible baseball, although with the World Baseball Classic, not that far away. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. My colleague Kurt Hoag of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins me once again, and we've got a very special format today. We are going to do something that we've been wanting to do for months, for like 8 months, right, Kurt?
Months. A long time. I mean, at some point, like early last season, this idea floated into my head.
Oh, floated.
What?
No, I mean, yes.
You say that like you came up with it or
something. I did not. No, I didn't. But like, we're not doing something that's like all that novel. I don't want it to sound like we invented something here, Kurt. This is something that people have done before. And in fact, I believe one of the Brewers podcasts that we know of did one recently. And so we're going to look like we're copying from people, but we wanted to do a bingo card episode. That is coming up with a bunch of random things that that could happen over the course of the year for that very moment in time where something crazy happens and you say to yourself, whoa, I didn't have that on my bingo card this year. Well, what did you have on your bingo card? That's the question we want to answer. And we want to start this season by building our bingo card, our Kurt and JR, our micro brew bingo card that we will present to the world. And if these things happen, we will absolutely declare bingo at some point in the season.
real quick. What would have been your from last year? What was the thing that happened that would have been your number one? That wasn't on my bingo card. And why was it Nestor Cortez giving home runs on the first three pitches of the game?
That is something we simply could not have seen coming.
How did that team win 97 games?
You know, what we should have done is an episode just of things of what our bingo cards should have been. And that might be what we do in the offseason next year. What our bingo cards should have been. All the random things that happened.
Yes, for example,
Kurt, just today, we could have added William Contreras gets engaged to Willie Adames' sister because that's exactly what happened.
That would have been on my bingo card. They've been dating for a while, I guess. If you didn't know, then that's fair.
Yes, for people who are not up on the dating scene, the Brewers dating scene, I had no idea. I mean, and I've been around this team. To be fair,
that's probably a safe place to be.
I'm not asking about this. I'm not like, so who are you dating? That's not something I do, really. It would probably get me kicked out of a clubhouse.
Would it get you kicked out of your house?
I don't I don't think so, Kurt. I don't think so because number one, my wife does not pay attention to anything that I do, like professionally, which is both.
I'm not saying not asking players. I'm asking about asking your kid. Have you had that conversation yet? Who are you dating?
Oh no, you're talking about my son, my eighth grade son. Yes. No, I haven't had that conversation. No, but tonight, Kurt, we drove home and the song Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus came on, shout out to the 90s, and we both sang it. Turns out he knows all the words, did not know this, and we both sang it word for word, front to back, including the falsetto style chorus at the end. And honestly, it was one of the greatest moments of my life, Kurt. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. So no, I have not asked him about his dating life. I don't think in eighth grade there's much of a dating life, but also my wife is a teacher at his school, so I think she'd know.
Yeah, she would know.
I think she'd know. Yeah,
it's a small school. Yeah, you're right.
Small adjacent.
I will also not be having that conversation because I don't want to. Because I am afraid to. I'm afraid to think about having that conversation, JR.
Your child is 4, Kurt. 5. She's 4. Not having that conversation. Yeah, you don't have to worry.
Well,
about
no. That. Yeah, but let's not act like the Earth doesn't keep spinning. Sometimes I wish it would stop for a little bit. Like we could just cut out the things that are happening.
Oh, that. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought you were going to say time is moving too fast and I cannot reiterate enough. I need these children in college. It is not moving fast enough for me. I love them dearly, but go move on with your lives. Get out of this house, please.
Preferably at an in-state institution.
I mean, anything with lots of scholarships and lots of, yes, affordable options, please. Affordable options. You know what? If you want to go right into the workforce, I support you, but you have to get a job somehow without a college education, get a job that will pay for its own apartment. I need these things to just come together, align like you know, the stars or something.
Okay, bingo card.
Bingo card. We're doing
this. This is not, I have a lot more to say, but this is not the time for me to banter.
No,
I want a bingo.
You want a bingo. So what we're doing is we are together bringing our ideas to this. We're building our own card for the show. What is your, do you think we could get a bingo?
I think we can get a bingo.
Okay. Things that we are collecting are things, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, but these are not things that are like big picture things. These are things that could happen in a game. That's how I was looking at it. These are things that can happen anytime.
It could be big picture, but for the most part, mine are like more granular, like things you would never see coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yet plausible, not like, you know. Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
varying degrees.
Well, they can't defy the laws of physics. Like there has to be some basis in possibility here, right?
Yeah. It's not Christian Yelich throws a no hitter. It's
right.
Coleman Crowe throws a no hitter. That's not on my list, but
it still has to really stun you. I also, Kurt, the way I looked at it is I did not choose things that could only happen in very, very specific circumstances. What I mean by that is originally I was thinking, oh, how about like Brewers sweep the Dodgers again? But I didn't want it to be something that can only be established over 3 very specific days on the schedule. Or, you know, for me, it was things that could only happen in the context of not necessarily in a game, but like could happen at any point during the season. It's not like, Bryce Tarang hits 40 home runs. I didn't put that on there because you're out of that like by September.
Sure. Yeah.
Big picture stuff. We're going to save that for our predictions episode, which trust me, that's coming. We'll be doing that as well as we get going here in spring training. Our colleague Todd Rosiak will be heading down to Arizona, to Phoenix for the start of things. Get going here. I think Feb 11, I believe, is when things people start reporting. So do we just go back and forth? Do you tell me what the I don't. You said you had an idea for the free space.
So we got to get the free space. So there's 25 spaces in your standard bingo card, BINGO.
Yeah.
If we split that evenly, though, JR, not only does that, it doesn't work, but also you got to have the free space in the middle.
Of course. Everyone
else. So we're going to rubber stamp that one right now. You can stamp it at home. Pat Murphy chastises a young player publicly.
I love that. Okay.
Just so stamp it in. First day of spring training. Murph, what do you think about Jesus Madé? I don't know.
He needs to get better. Yeah.
Stamp it in.
I think this could still apply to Joey Ortiz. So when we say young player,
by Murph's definition of young player, which is very fluid. I think Bryce Turang might be veteran status by now, but Joey Ortiz, who's like older and similar big league experience, definitely still a young player.
Yeah. So we might, obviously, as we evaluate these over the course of the year, we might have to get a little fungible with some of the interpretations to make this work. But I think this is yes, this is pretty safe. I don't think we're going to make it out of Maryvale with without checking off the free space. Do you then want to go first? And are we doing like top left? Like, are we building this card very specifically? Or
no,
how?
Okay. I think at the end of this, JR, I will combine all our predictions. I'll write yours down here as we go along.
Okay.
And I will make a bingo card for you and I to keep at our press box seat this year.
Okay. That sounds good. So why don't you give me your first one, your first real one?
All right. I will kick us off with major scandal involving Bernie Brewer.
Okay. Be specific here. What are we talking about? Like, not super specific.
I can't get into the specifics of the scandal. That would ruin the shock of the scandal.
I see. Some sort of controversy involving Bernie Brewer.
Major scandal. It has to be major. Involving Bernie Brewer. Okay. Not Barrelman, not the chorizo. Bernie Brewer.
Okay. I do feel like this is stealing some of my thunder because I was prepared to say Abner Uribe has a run-in with a racing sausage, but I feel like if we have too much mascot, it will get a little out of hand. Plus, that's a little bit more specific than maybe we even want. Abner Uribe getting into a confrontation with a racing sausage, perhaps a la Randall Simon in some way, shape, or form.
How would he even do that?
You know what?
In the bullpen.
I don't know. You know, maybe it's not during a game. Maybe it's not.
At like a charity event. Okay. Yeah. Are you taking this one?
No, I would like to not do a mascot thing. So my
mascot quota. Okay.
Understood. My first one is actually something that I wanted to see last year, and we almost got it. We did not get it, but we almost got it. And that's Anthony Siegler switch pitching both lefty and righty in the same game. He is ambidextrous. He famously, when he plays infield or catcher, is a catcher too? Yeah, it has to be. He uh-huh. uses his yeah, right hand
there,
to throw.
He's the emergency catcher.
Yep, he uses his right hand. And when he plays the outfield, he uses his left. He has two different gloves. I know that when he got out there to pitch, he stuck to one side. I think next year, if he gets another opportunity to pitch, we know a lot of position players get innings. That's going to happen again. Jake Bowers can't work all of them. And I think Anthony Siegler ends up using both arms. That's what I'm hoping for. I feel like that actually could happen. I really feel like this could happen.
You're starting with maybe the most plausible one?
Among the most, yes.
Okay. So speaking of plausible, I started this document on September 4th.
Oh, you've been into this for a long time.
Last year. One of my first ones on here is Nick Muir's blown save against the Brewers. I have to use it.
I mean, don't you? Because the fact that you already sort of mini predicted that he would not be on the Brewers, I feel like you have to.
I think I have to exclude that one because it has to be something that when it happens, you say that was not my bingo card, but he's been traded to another team. So it very plausibly, right? Like that could be on your bingo card.
100%. I agree with you though. This fits into that category I was talking about where it can only happen over one of six games, one of three games during the season, and I feel like I don't want to box us in on any of these squares. Sure.
Okay, well, I'll stick to some wild bullpen shenanigans. JB Bukauskas more saves than Trevor McGill.
Okay, this is definitely still in that category that I'm talking about, where like it's going to be decided very, you know, like at some point in the season, it will be clear that this is can or cannot happen.
I went bigger picture, but
that's fine. You should. This one is a good one.
That's not going to make my predictions in a few weeks.
That's too. You're going to put this in your predictions too?
No, I said it's not.
Yeah, I think this is a good one to say now because Trevor McGill is still a Milwaukee Brewer, and there's a really good chance that by the time the season starts, I wouldn't say really good chance, but there is a chance that he's not a Milwaukee Brewer by the time the season starts. And we know they love JB Bukauskas. He is going to get a save opportunity sooner or later for this organization.
And if they don't love JB Bukauskas, JR, you know who does? Me.
You do. Yeah.
I will not quit the man for as long as they keep bringing him back on minor league deals. This is like he's like Matt Arnold's K-Rod.
I think that's interesting. You might be right there. All right. I'm going to go with one that's all, I'm going to stay with the semi-plausible here. Although I think this one is actually not very plausible. Christian Yelich hits for yet another cycle.
Oh, is it against the Reds?
No, I will not say it's against the Reds, but it will be, we're going with one more cycle. I don't know if I see that happening. This is a guy they don't even let play left field, so I don't know if I can see him tripling and homering in the same game, but...
He's so fast. He can triple.
I mean, I think so too, but why don't they let him play left field? We need to talk more about
because
that.
Because they have better left fielders?
Yes, but if you want to...
Because he's bad in left field?
I mean, he's not great, but like... Just like put some offense in there someday and let him play left field and then have a different hitter at DH.
I'm sure he'll play left field some.
Yeah, I don't know. How many innings did he end up getting last year out there? Hardly any.
Not a lot after the early part of the season, which I think tells you what you need to know. They're just like, yeah, we're not doing this.
Yeah. I mean, they love defense so, so much. And it worked for them. Okay. So Yelich hitting for another cycle on our card.
Is it against the Reds?
No, I am not going to commit to one team. Again, I am very dedicated to this. It can happen at any day sort of thing.
So much happened, JR, during the Brewers' 14-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
There was the Christian Yelich, Bob Uecker back game. But not only that, but they came back from, what, an 8-1 deficit in that game, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Yelich was a triple shy of the cycle against the Reds.
You know what?
There was so much going on. My head hurt. It might have been the sweltering heat, but I'm sitting up there like frantically trying to get everything together. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, like, has anyone hit? No one's hit for four cycles, right? Like, just trying to put together the historical context of this, plus winning 13 in a row, plus homering twice in a Bob Uecker bat.
I absolutely don't remember knowing that. I don't remember realizing that, certainly. With what was going on in that game.
He was a triple shy, right?
He definitely had a bunch of hits.
There was a double and two homers. And I feel like there was a single in there as well.
Well, I don't know now because I do feel like that would have dawned on me. I don't know. But as we're talking, we can look it up. Why don't you give me your next one here?
My next one, yes. Let me go through the list. Which one do we want to go with here? I'm going to go with...
Stuart Burrow, a Grand Slam.
Speaking of heroes of the win streak.
So you are of the opinion that Stuart Burrow will not be released before spring training even begins. That's
I'm not of that opinion. That's why this is on my bingo card. I mean, if he's on the 40-man to start spring training, also they have room on the 40-man. He's going to start in Nashville.
Yeah, you're right.
What are the circumstances that would lead him to Milwaukee? I don't know. Injuries, I guess.
This feels like of a piece with like Andrew Monasterio, 3-run homer and extra innings, which absolutely happened to extend a winning streak
to 14 games.
By the way, double checked. Christian Yelich did in fact finish a triple shy of the cycle. He did have a double, had four hits in that game, a single,
I
double,
cannot
two bombs.
I cannot believe the doubt that I receive. On my own podcast.
I mean, I was there. I was at that game, but I was absolutely like overwhelmed by the various things that were happening. The big deficit.
By that, you mean plastered?
No, I was with my children. I was behaving very responsibly. I met somebody out in the outfield that I had never met before. So shouts to Easy Narc. From Twitter, he has a name, but you know, I don't know if that's like public knowledge. I have no idea.
We don't dox people here.
We just talk about how we meet people from a social media app and how how completely normal that sounds in the year 2026.
I guess it does now, but
it does. That's what I'm saying. It does sound normal.
It does. My wife still thinks it's a little weird. So you can imagine
it should be.
You could imagine her reaction in, I think, 2015, probably 2015, maybe 2016. No, Joel Stave was the quarterback, so it was 2015, of me going to cover Big Ten Media Days in Chicago as a student at UW. And the Badgers were going, like, super early one day. And it's 2 days, so I'm like, well, I got to find somewhere to stay, hang my own way. And so I stayed with someone from Twitter.
Amazing. That's incredible.
And she's like, no, don't do that. I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. He's like in the suburbs. He's got a family. I know this guy. I've never met him, but I know this guy.
Strong.
Totally normal.
It's just really good not to meet your Twitter heroes. It's just really, you know.
I met you.
That's true. Were we even Twitter friends when I met you, though? I might have met you just like in real life first. I don't recall. This is 2016 when you were an intern.
I don't remember the first time we met, JR.
2016. Well, oh, I do. You're interning for MLB.com. It's 2016. You are seated in the press box. I was introduced by our mutual friend, Adam McCalvey. Shouts to you. And I remember thinking, wow, that dude is tall, which
and
is probably tall. And it's pretty much, I would imagine that most people feel that way when they meet you, like, whoa, wow, that's just taller than I expected. I don't think that was the time I learned that your name was pronounced Hogue. I believe still for several years after that you were Hog. But yeah, I do remember that first encounter. 2016 Brewers were a very special time, very special. A lot of great baseball being played.
Michael Blazek.
I mean, you were there. You could Neil actually Ramirez. Name Brewers.
Sam Freeman.
Did you say Neil Ramirez?
Yeah, Neil Ramirez was on that team.
That's a name I have literally never heard before.
Well, that's on you, bub.
Dude, 2016, I tuned out. That's the last time I've had joy in the summer because I absolutely wasn't paying attention to the Brewers in August and September.
Okay. We're going to further derail this. 2026 is the summer of joy for you again. we are going to rediscover joy. All right. Here's one. That's what it's going to be. Summer of joy.
Here's one way we can get some joy in my life. My next entry, 259, 259 players or shorter homer in the same game.
That should be on your bingo card. Right?
It's on. That's it.
No, but I'm saying like that should be on your bingo card. That's half the Brewers roster.
So it's not quite that bad. But we know Caleb Durbin fits the mold. We know Sal Frelick fits the mold. Jet Williams fits the mold. Stuart Baroa fits the mold.
Has it ever happened in a big league game?
It has to have. I mean, they're, you know, like Altuve's been in enough games where I imagine he's homered alongside some teammate who is teeny tiny. I don't know. Luis Lara, by the way, who is probably going to be a big leaguer at some point in 2026. The list is shorter than we might think. Shorter. Got that one. But yeah, 259 homers in the same game. Now, this could be a two homer game for Caleb Durbin. I'm not ruling that out. But it has to be two different guys.
You're right.
I think that's fair. I was thinking the spirit of this is two different guys. We're gonna just stick with the spirit. Two different 5-9ers or shorter homer in the same game.
I have annotated as such. All right. I've got Pat Murphy brings an entire pizza box into the dugout.
I knew you had this in your back pocket, like literally. And I love this one very much. I love this very much because this is going to happen. It's going to happen so much.
Yeah, I also might have a little influence. Like I'm not saying I can dictate what the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers does, but I might be able to poke and prod on this one a little bit.
I don't know. Like, this feels like a violation of the terms. If you are influencing the world in any way, you know, this is like a insider trading situation. If you are going to talk Pat Murphy into bringing a pizza box in there to satisfy a bingo card, because he will do it. Probably he will do it.
Okay, fine. I will not directly tell him to bring a pizza box into the dugout. But if the subject comes up, I am allowed to encourage.
All right. I think that's fair. That's fair. I think you could probably do more than encourage. I don't know. All right, my next one. Andrew Vaughn steals a base. He's only done it once in his life.
Wait, really?
His career. Yeah, one big league steal, and it was like his rookie year. It was his rookie year. He has not stolen a base in the last several years. I want to see him steal a base. Just one. It's probably all he'll get all year. That's what I'm going for. One base will do it. So this is an easy one. Like, this could obviously realistically happen.
That is your most realistic one. I've seen Rowdy steal multiple bases in a season.
I know, but I'm telling you, Rowdy actually.
Andrew Vaughn is not very fat. Like, he is.
But more than that, he's not attempting to steal bases. Like, he has zero attempts.
He's not. get up to speed.
No, I agree.
Different levels of baseball slow, and Rowdy was a different kind of slow.
Rowdy was slow, but like he's mischievous. Rowdy is always looking for a little bit of an edge. Do you think that's fair? Like Rowdy wants to steal a base because he knows that will embarrass you.
Because he knows that's good content too.
100%. That is a man who's aware of the content. Andrew Vaughn, I think if he's standing on first base, I have to think he's just probably a little bit disappointed. Like this is not what I wanted. It is not what I wanted. I don't think he's mischievous. I don't think he's looking to like embarrass anybody or sneak up on anybody.
With a hairstyle like that, you're not mischievous.
Agreed.
He went to Berkeley. He's smart.
He is smart.
I could definitely meddle on this one too. Actually, I think this is a good story idea. I'm going to plug this one away for a future date.
Will Andrew Vaughn steal a base?
Will you steal a base? All right, JR. I like that one. So that's up to four, I believe, for both of us. We're going to stick with Anthony Siegler here.
Oh, interesting. Two Siegler entries on the same card.
Anthony Siegler hits 5 spring training home runs.
Okay. I like that. That again is going to be very much married to a specific time frame, but still.
Yeah, that's fine.
So he's going to be this year's Vinny Capra, is what you're saying.
Who was last year's Eric Haas.
Yes.
Who was 2024's Mike Brasso. Who was 2023's... I don't remember.
At some point, we'll get to Angel Echeverria, one of my favorites, spring training heroes. I can see that happening. I think
2022 spring training was too short. There was no spring training hero. I'm giving myself the pass.
I think that's right. That's a very good point. I think if fans are not interested in seeing a bunch of Anthony Siegler, I think him getting the at-bats to get 5 spring training home runs will also irritate fans who just were not very satisfied with the Anthony Siegler experience last year.
You think that there's fans that are upset about spring training workloads?
100%. There are fans that are miserable about everything. But I will say this. I think people should absolutely get used to the idea of Anthony Siegler in 2026.
Should I become more anti-fan?
Like,
this is year 5 for me. I really got to start embracing some things.
Give me some examples of like how that would manifest.
Like, I'm just coming on here mad at people, mad about Anthony Siegler.
Yeah. Would you be mimicking people we know? Because we know a lot of people in this industry who are like, fans, they don't know what they're talking about.
I'm mimicking every baseball writer.
Yeah.
I'm too pro fan.
You think you engage with their silly little theories, even though these silly little theories are actually really good questions, mostly.
Yeah, no, I actually do like getting ideas from fans. So sometimes people will say something to you on the internet, and they actually like have a point.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Like sometimes Grant Bills will DM me and I'm like, what are you talking about? But that's Grant. It's okay.
Yeah.
He's not going to hear this because he's at Super Bowl week.
Oh, that's right. Hanging out, Grant Bills, as he has been doing the last couple of years at least.
Yeah. No, he doesn't ask me to come on his show when he's on Radio Row.
Hobnobbing with the Super Bowl media. Am I up next? I think I am.
You are.
Jacob Mizorowski shows up in a K-pop video. I think so. I want to expand this. Like, okay. So, K-pop, of course, is a Korean thing. He's kind of famous for his Pokemon love, right? Like, he's got like a following in Japan. I feel like there's going to be something, some commercial, some music video, something where Jacob Mizorowski crosses over. Now, obviously K-pop is, again, that's usually Korea. Japan is totally different animal, but like also I somehow Jacob Mizorowski is going to attain a level of fame that involves a video presentation.
Look at my eyes.
I've been saving. This is the one that I was most excited to unfurl this idea.
I just, I just bought this new webcam so you can see.
We're not even using the video. But you do have a new webcam. It looks very nice. And I think it would look very nice for Jacob Mizrowski's show. Don't you think that's going to, like, that could happen? Like, he would say yes to that. If someone was like, can you star in this music video? He would 100% say yes to that.
Yeah, he would. Which Philly do you think would be most mad about that?
Which Philly would be? Man, Bryce Harper for sure. And I say that safely only because I'm not even sure who's on the Phillies anymore. Just a bunch of olds. Real Muto's still there, I think. I think.
Yeah, they just
Schwarber came back. Well. Yeah, they ran it back. Good for the Phillies. They're old. They're old and not very scary anymore. Okay. That was kind of my big one. That was one that I was really excited to unfurl. I got one more that I'm proud of, but what do you got?
That was a good one. Can I do an and or?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Andrew Vaughn walks up unannounced to King Vaughn as his walk-up song, or a brewer uses Taylor Swift as their walk-up song.
I guess this is when I said you could do it either or, I didn't know they'd be so disparate. But this is like the walk-up song category. Somebody uses Taylor Swift or Andrew Vaughn walks up unironically to King Vaughn.
Unannounced. It might be ironic. Hopefully ironic.
Do you think Andrew Vaughn doesn't do irony? I don't think. He's very serious, very earnest guy.
No, I think Andrew Vaughn is like sneaky, really funny.
Okay, yeah, no, I do too.
I don't have much to base this off of, if I'm being honest with you. But I've seen this type of person before, and they are funny.
Okay. I think then after he gets on base with King Vaughn, he steals a base for the content, because then we get two spots in one game.
Yeah. Have I told you about the really, really profane song that used to play in the clubhouse after wins? They don't play it anymore.
I believe you told me this is like on the last podcast.
Was it on the podcast? Oh, yeah. And then it
was King Vaughn.
I found out it was King Vaughn. Yeah, yes, I'm getting old. I'm forgetting who I tell my stories.
You're absolutely getting old. Yeah. All right. Next one for me is Brewers. So I'm limiting this to Cubs games. Brewers and Cubs get into an on-field altercation. I don't even think that's like unlikely. That's probably going to happen. Brewers and Cubs getting into a fight.
I would almost say that's too. I'm saying no.
You're ruling out. You feel like it's too likely to happen.
I'm ruling it out.
Okay, that's fair.
The people. Okay, while we're on this, we never put a bow on the L flag discourse.
Was there a discourse, or I guess maybe a little bit?
It was stupid, is what it was. It was the dumbest part of the 2026 baseball season.
You mean the discourse or the flag itself was the dumbest?
The discourse. The discourse. Okay. Because you know why the L flag wasn't the dumbest part? Because that's what you do in sports. You know how I know that's what you do in sports? Because when the Bears beat the Packers, they were like grading, their quarterback was like shredding cheese on national TV. Like they made a whole thing of it. It's what you do. So if you complained once or said the Brewers had it coming to them getting swept by the good karma, and you enjoyed the Caleb Williams cheese thing, touch, go outside, unplug your AirPods, or just carry your AirPods outside, put your jacket on. It might be a little cold. Shovel some snow off. And touch that grass underneath the cold white snow.
Yeah, if I'm playing devil's advocate, it's that baseball still has this baked in, like, play the game the right way that football maybe doesn't have. So I could see why fans feel there's a little bit of a double standard.
They were being stupid.
I mean, I know we said this before, like the L flag wasn't something that the Brewers manufactured. They grabbed it from a fan and who stuck around for the postgame celebration.
How rivalries work. This is why we like.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah,
because you love beating your rival in the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. Much funnier when they had that giant L flag that unfurled in the upper deck a few years back. A fan had smuggled in.
Yeah, that was the top moment. But I'm not balling. Letting you get away with Cubs Brewers fight.
That's fine. That's fine.
You can do a fight, but it can't be the Cubs.
Pivot time. I'm gonna go a different direction. I'm gonna say Chad Patrick takes a no hitter into the seventh.
The seventh, you say. Okay.
Well, I mean, no one is actually going to pitch through the seventh. We're post starting pitcher in big leagues. Like if somebody even pitches eight innings, that actually could be something. Oh, I didn't have that on my bingo card. A starter going eight innings.
A starter pitches a complete game.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately something that does not happen every year for the Milwaukee Brewers.
That would have been a good one. That would have been a good one for me to do, and I would have done Tom Pannone too.
I'm going to just say Chad Patrick takes a no-hitter into the seventh. I know that's not extremely novel as a concept, but it's more of an illustration that I think Chad Patrick is going to get a lot of opportunities. And every now and then he has kind of unhittable stuff.
Sounds like you do have it on your bingo card.
No, I don't. I still don't think – I'm still not sure Chad Patrick is going to be a regular starter all year long, but we're going to say he has a no-hitter.
Okay. I've got – Andrew Monasterio leading the Brewers in OPS at the end of May.
Okay. What gives you the impression that he's going to have at-bats?
Nothing.
No. I don't think that's going to happen.
Neither do I.
No, that definitely fits as something that would not be on your bingo card.
He's going to make this team.
Is he?
Let's talk about that. What's your rationale for him not making the team?
That they actually sign a veteran infielder to be the guy.
That is rich.
Well, you know, when Isaiah Kiner-Falefa
your boy just left the market, man.
Signed with the Boston Red Sox. I do think it's entertaining that of the 10 names we mentioned, the 10 boring free agents, I believe 9 of them are still available. Austin Hayes signing with the White Sox, very sad. But I think, if I recall correctly, the other nine are also out there.
Yes.
With the caveat that a couple of them maybe signed and I didn't notice because, like, there's some low-level guys there.
Who was the Japanese, the American reliever who was in Japan that I liked? Who was funny with the Pirates? I don't remember his name. That one is still going to happen. I'm telling you right now. That one is still going to happen.
A couple of these people that we mentioned are just going to
start. Was it Kyle?
That's right.
I was going to say Kyle Kendricks, but that was a different player.
No. A couple of the guys that we mentioned are straight retiring.
No, I've got Mona on the team.
Okay.
Pretty safely.
Yeah. All right. So for me, I'm going to say the team gets a bunch of t-shirts and somehow it involves the slogan on the shirt, you know, Power of Friendship. You remember that? This year's shirt will have something to do with Craig Yoho. They're going to have like Yoho themed t-shirts of some sort.
Okay. I vibe with that.
Yeah.
I vibe with that.
People forgot about Craig Yoho. People have forgotten about how great he is.
There's a lot of ways you could go with a Craig Yoho t-shirt.
That's right.
A lot of ways.
Yeah. I don't know if we could quite do the Yoho Pirate thing because the Pirates are a rival in the division. So some creativity will be called upon, but I think it's going to happen. We can do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That is very true. I got some doozies. Some doozies left on here. I'm going to go with one of my doozies. The 2020 wildcard banner falls during a game.
Are we going to arrange this? Because I feel like this could be the work of a guerrilla fan group that just like really, really wants to make a statement.
Microbrew Anonymous.
What would the microbrew fans be called? You know how you've got Swifties and whatnot. Like microbrewers is kind of lame. So we're going to have to workshop that pretty hard. But can we get a group of people to make the 2020 banner fall during a game or fall in general? If you know what, if that thing ends up like disappearing or falling, that will count whether or not it's during a game. But
you know, eventually they're gonna run out of room.
Yeah.
And if they ever take that thing down, I want it. Dibs.
Do you think they could just do one big banner that's like all these years and then at the very bottom in parentheses in very small print and also 2020? Or something along those lines.
They should just ignore it. That's my stance.
It is disrespectful to the other teams that have made the playoffs that the 2020 yes. banner still flies. And you know what? It's not even the natural response to that is, well, they made the playoffs and they didn't, you know, like they didn't win a playoff series in 2021 or 2023. So why should we count those years? And the difference is because 2020 was a fake year with 60 games. You can absolutely say to yourself and to your fans, this year does not count. It doesn't even matter how they did, which is not have a winning record at any point that season. That doesn't even factor in, although it's certainly why we feel this way. Like 2020 just doesn't need to count. No, everybody make the playoffs. It doesn't need to count.
Yeah, we did the games. It was a distraction. We did the games, but they didn't really happen. This is funny because I have talked to a 2020 Brewers player, someone who was on that team, and they were like, "Yeah, that team was bad."
Yeah.
If we had played if we played 162, man, we're like hanging in the low 70s. Like it was just, it just wasn't gonna get good.
Yeah. The only thing you can say is that the Brewers have been in that position before, including in the year of our Lord 2025. And I, you know, may or may not have sent a message on social media saying this team just ain't it. It's Memorial Day and they're bad. Then they won 97 games more than any other team in franchise history. So like
Memorial maybe, Day is here forth known as J.R. Radcliffe Day.
I think I might have to wait to send my scathing, like this team is bad tweet or post.
If the Brewers win the World Series this year, I know it's this year. I would have made you do it last year. But if the Brewers win the World Series this year, can you get that post tattooed on yourself? Will you agree to that in front of our dozens of listeners?
Nope. My body's a temple. Can't do it. A temple full of cheese.
I'll tattoo it on myself.
Next for me. Jet Williams is mistaken for a ball boy and not granted access to a stadium or something of that nature. Like people don't believe he's a big leaguer because he's a 5'8" kid who like you look at him. It's like, yeah, that could be a ball boy. New guy, you know, maybe it's not American Family Field, but at some stadium, something's going to happen where there's some Jet Williams confusion. That's all I'm saying.
I like it. I like it. You are just like really hammering the short guys.
I mean, yes.
Really hammering the short guys.
What do you think? When do you think Jet Williams gets here? Do you think that's like a May thing, or do you think it's more like September, maybe, like or something in between?
I think June.
Okay.
Let me ask you a follow up. When's the Super 2 cutoff?
That's a very important question. I have two answers. One is, yeah, so June, this is what it was with Mizorowski. It was like the second week of June. Mm-hmm. Two, I think this franchise should not be concerned with Super 2 when it comes to guys who are 5'9 or shorter. I just wish they would stop caring about that. For you know, if you want to care about it, fine, but please don't throw Super 2 around with 5'9 guys.
They haven't cared about this. They've only cared about it with the tall fellows.
That's what I'm saying. And I respect that. I respect that. If you're gonna like tweak the system a little bit, please only apply it to the talls. I appreciate that.
This is discriminatory. This is discriminatory practice that you are preaching.
I don't deny it. I absolutely am discriminating. Yes, I discriminate against. I prefer players who are good, and even the short ones are good on this team. So like ultimately, they're all in the same big tent. But I prefer the talls.
Let's get a spring training, another spring training one. I just love my spring training. I'm going to have multiple of these discredited like a weekend, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Gasser shows up to Maryville throwing 97.
Interesting. I mean, you could extend it to Gasser throws 97 at any point this season. That would still be interesting.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. That's a good idea. I like how you're thinking there.
Yeah.
You got some good thoughts inside that bald cranium of yours.
I think it's likely that he will, that it's some stray pitch will get measured on a hot gun as a 97 mile an hour pitch.
We don't have hot guns anymore.
No, that's true. We don't. Yeah. We just got the cameras. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to happen. It's going to be really close.
95 in the big leagues.
I think a Gasser 97 is perfect. Now, this is one you're going to have to talk him up. You're going to have to say, you're going to be like, Robert, I need you on this one.
My boy.
I need you to rear back.
No, I can't do that because then it sounds like way too much like I'm Emmanuel Clasaying him.
Yeah, that does get a little dicey kind of fast.
Like, what did you gamble on this? Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
It's just my bingo card.
All right, Robert, if at very least you can't throw a 97, could you at least talk to Andrew Vaughn about stealing bases or Murph about bringing pizza boxes into the dugout?
Do you have any loose screwdrivers sitting around? Power tools, perhaps?
Yeah. All right, next for me. The Brewers throw out a runner at the plate for the 27th out for a third year in a row. They get the last out of the game at the plate. Blake Perkins has done it each of the last two seasons. Once against the Reds, once against the Mets. I'm going to say it happens a third time, three outs at the plate to end the game in 3 years.
Who's the one that throws it?
I wanted to say Blake Perkins.
you don't have to have a, you don't have to name someone, but I, this isn't for the bingo card. I just want to hear you think.
Luis Lara.
Oh, I just like the way you're speaking.
Yeah. I think
you're speaking nice.
I mean, Luis Lara, who is he 5'5"? I mean, he's, he's what? 5'7"? Yeah. He's 5'8" or something.
Maybe
I mean,
5'7".
Another in the short pipeline. I think he's going to be here, and I think he's a really good defensive center fielder. He can throw a guy out at the plate, no problem.
Yeah, he's got a good arm. Works in center field. Okay.
So I believe we don't have very many more.
That was your ninth. So if you got a reservoir, you got to consolidate the good ones. We got three left each. So
all right.
I am consolidating. All right.
All right.
I am going to go with, I can only pick two of these left. I'm going to go no hitter in a Tate Keener start.
All right. You are notably not saying Tate Keener will last all nine innings because that would be insane, but that he will start a game and the Brewers will go no hit. Tate Keener, of course, part of the 2023 draft class. Love him very dearly. He is not on the, he's not on the 40 man, right? Oh no, he is. No, he's not on the 40 man.
He doesn't have to be till after this year.
But since he is a pitcher, there's a very good likelihood he will, in fact, appear at some point. He is a
spring invitation. They did not invite pitching prospects to spring training.
Hardly
like,
any.
And they haven't signed minor league pitchers to free agent deals either. It's I guess it makes a little bit of sense when you start to see how their Nashville rotation is lining up. It's like all prospects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like Carlos Rodriguez, where is the room for you? Almost. It's pretty dang good. So, but it deviates from what we've seen from them in the past, where like they've got seven or eight new arms in there, the Easton McGee's of the world.
Yeah. I think it's more than just the rotation because, you know, Brock Wilkin, Cooper Pratt, Lara, there are going to be like, there's going to be some serious depth, like high pedigree depth.
Yeah. It's all prospects this year.
That's right. That's right. Rick Sweet, by the way, the manager for what, how many years now? Is it 60 that he's been with the Milwaukee Brewers organization?
That's 74.
That man is an institution. I'm so glad.
I actually think he's 74 years old.
Did you see that Tyler Thornburg is their pitching coach? Former Brewers?
Yes.
Tyler Thornburg?
The Brewers are assembling a team.
They are assembling a team.
Of 2010s relievers. serving as pitching coaches. I'm surprised Jim Henderson hasn't been plucked.
Me as well, or Chris Hook for that matter. Like, I mean, they've seen really highly regarded pitching coaches go before to you know, bigger paychecks. The Brewers announced their whole player development staff as we record this on Feb 4. They some of the names we knew, some we didn't, but like a lot of these guys are probably people that are a little bit off the beaten path, like coaches in the minor leagues. Anybody jump out though? Was there any other names that you wanted to really struck you like Tyler Thornburg did for me?
Chase Peterson's back.
Yeah.
So I think, I'll talk to him in spring and see like how he's feeling, but I could, that's definitely a name that you could see like working his way up the ranks, whether it's in Milwaukee or elsewhere as a potential manager down the road. Especially if he starts to get like a little more front office baseball ops experience, since that's the way that position goes now. But that was interesting to me. Joe Arolt, the Biloxi Shuckers manager from last year, beat cancer 2 years ago. He is transitioning to a field coordinator.
That's right. Yep.
Oh my gosh, Grant,
which is a cool promotion. He's going to be around a lot.
Grant Bills just texted me, and my first thought was, how are you listening to this? But yeah, so Arolt's there. Mike Guerrero, very familiar name, goes back to that role. And then JR, Concordia University of Wisconsin's very own.
Yeah.
Head coach is now the manager at Carolina, the first manager in Wilson Warburg's history.
That's pretty cool. I think that they are – I'm drawing a blank on the name. It's Eddie, Eddy. What's his last name? I'm drawing a blank.
Morgan, I believe. Eddie Morgan.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I love that it's, you know, a little bit of a pipeline. You know, I haven't paid attention over the years really well to the player development staff below the big league level and all the different machinations and the, you know, like I knew Rick Sweet was there. And then there's a bunch of guys I didn't really feel like I needed to know because they'll be gone in a couple of years. But more and more, you're seeing those guys having a huge, huge impact on, especially a team that relies so much on its youth and its prospects. Like these guys play a huge role, and they always have. But now I feel like I'm paying attention more. I think even the team, you know, broader audience is paying a little more attention to what those guys are doing. So, it's my turn, is it not?
It's your turn. You have three left. Yep, use them wisely.
Jefferson Carroll walk-off home run. I was trying to think of a player to give a walk-off home run to. And Jefferson Carroll, who has not yet made his big league debut, but I do believe at some point, if not right out of the gate, will be the backup catcher. He's got a little bit of power. He's not going to be a power threat per se, but he can hit it. He's my guy to hit hit a walk-off home run at some point this year.
I like that for you. I like that for you. I like that for Carroll. I think he should be the backup catcher. The fact that they signed a guy, but only on a minor league deal, I think definitely portends well for Carroll.
Yeah, they just don't
making the team.
Yeah, they don't have bodies. Like they have two guys on the 40 man, Carroll and Contreras at catcher, mm-hmm. and they didn't have anybody else. So like they needed guys.
Yeah,
that had a couple camp mm-hmm. invites, but like mostly if one of the two guys get hurt, you didn't have any obvious options. So that's why Reese McGuire is here. Who
that's
by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
No, that's just that is a name we did not include in our 10, but is a name that one of us said sort of after, like, oh, Reese McGuire, maybe. And you're like, no, I don't want to do any backup catchers. I thought that's fair, but like we didn't think about maybe a minor league deal for him. And you know, maybe yeah. the other guy on this podcast was right.
Well, that pains me too. I'm not gonna admit it. I'm just not going to admit it. I've said enough nice things about you on this podcast that I don't have to say you're right.
All right. Well, that's fair. He's not that important. I mean, he might very well be the opening day guy, but I do think that's because of an injury and not because they decide at this point anyway that Carroll needs more time. Still plenty of time for them to sign somebody else, but I don't think so. I don't think that's happening. Your turn.
Earlier on this podcast, Jared, you said you don't need to know who the Brewers are dating.
I did say that. I'm guessing you feel differently.
In this instance, you will know who they are dating. Rumors swirl.
They do?
Connecting Sydney Sweeney to a Milwaukee Brewers player.
That's not going to happen. Oh my gosh. Sydney Sweeney's not going to date anybody outside of one of the like five biggest markets in baseball.
She was at the Dodgers. She was at the World Series.
How many guys are just not like connected to somebody already, either girlfriend or
not many. Not
there aren't many.
Many,
but there are some.
The average marriage age for baseball players has to be like 5 years below, 4 years below the American average.
It is true. Most of these guys get to the big leagues and they already have like two kids. Jacob Isrowski's getting married. Blake Perkins just got married. I don't think so. So we've got Yelich, Durbin, I think.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and list off names of eligible bachelors on the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm just telling you, one of them is going to be, well, according to my bingo card prediction,
one of them will be
connected to Sydney Sweeney.
My money is 100% on Caleb Durbin. I think, so I have two more. Is that right? I have two more.
Yes, you have two more since I started.
William Contreras starts a podcast.
Oh, perhaps with one of us, with you.
I mean, I'm available. The problem with my particular, I'm just gonna say I can't speak a word of Spanish. So I do feel like William Contreras can speak English, but I do think he would be more comfortable with a co-host who can also maybe flip into Spanish. And I definitely cannot do that. So it ain't gonna be me. I just feel like that man's got things to say. And hey, his arbitration case is gonna get heard any day. So like he may have a lot to say. Stuff I want to hear, even.
Man. If there's one, like the day I've been most jealous of Todd on this job was Corbin Burns' arbitration day. I was like, man, you just got to like sit back and just the content came to you, man. You were just there.
It was beautiful. Corbin Burns was ready to provide. He was ready to share. Didn't matter who it was. He had some thoughts that didn't. He was looking for those microphones, and boy, he delivered. What a day. What a day that was.
Man, imagine the things he said privately.
Oh, I
imagine the texts.
He never really said a whole lot. Like, he's very I think buttoned up and polished or whatever, but like you could, like, there was a layer underneath that preparation where you could sort of see when he was like really, really pissed off. I really did enjoy that, that moment.
This guy who was like, I mean, he's so meticulous, and that's why, that's a significant reason why he, you know, got paid 190, 200 million, because he was so meticulous about his craft. And he was meticulous about those words, JR.
I remember like kind of screaming when, and even in the moment, knowing that I had to take it with a tiny bit of grain of salt, when he said that they basically blamed him for not being better the previous year. I think I audibly made a noise like, what? he was the reason everything was held together. Yeah. But you know, like
all the other arms fell apart.
Even in the moment, I knew that you had to, you know, like there could be some embellishments to the player's advantage at this point to sort of make their case public and win in the court of public opinion. And, you know what? It did work out for Corbin Burnes. Everybody got what they wanted. The Brewers are winning more games. Corbin Burnes is getting paid. He's rehabbing with a beautiful bank account to his name, and good for him. Good for all.
Yeah, that's right. That is absolutely correct. All right, JR, do you want to take, do you want, like, this is our last round. Who, do you want to go last or do you want me to go last?
You know what? I'm going to let you go last because I bet you've got a hammer. I bet you've got a
I can't. I'm not going to talk it. That's not, you know, you don't talk to you do have a closer montage. Never mind. I just want to be Brad Boxberger, man. Don't play the music when I walk in. I just want to come in and do my job.
All right. Here is my last one. It's going to not be as good as yours, so that's fine. My last one. Nestor Cortez gives up home runs in the first three pitches he throws. That's not it. That's not it.
No, I needed it to be it. No,
that's not it. That's not it. He doesn't play for the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm afraid that can't be on our bingo card. But
no, by association, that is allowed to be. He's still unsigned. So is Savali.
That's true. Could two members of the Brewers starting rotation in a year they won 97 games.
Two and three starter to open the year.
Let's not forget that Elvin Rodriguez was in the rotation to start the year. Elvin Rodriguez, Nestor Cortez, and Aaron Civale were all in this rotation at the start of 2025.
Let us forget that.
We shall forget. All right, my last one, my real last one. The Brewers actually extend a player. Your jaw's dropped. You know what? And I'm only going to say because, like, it's possible because of the year ahead, the possible work stoppage here. Maybe players are a little more willing to get into some financial situation where they're beyond that upcoming season. But yes, this is the year. This is the year the Brewers actually extend a player. Could be preseason, could be midseason. But
I do almost feel like you have to add that it's a pitcher.
Could it be anyone else?
Although they've extended more pitchers than hitters. Like, Churio's the only hitter they've extended since Yelich.
I honestly was going to maybe do this for our predictions episode where I said that I was going to pivot and be like, maybe they extend William Contreras for a couple reasons. One is they don't have a ton of catching depth. Two is when Carroll ultimately seizes that role, William Contreras could be your everyday DH. Christian Yelich isn't going to be here forever. Three, you have a guy who I think probably is going to be pretty good for the next few years. And with the work stoppage, things are just different. Like, you don't really know how that impacts anybody, the individual players, the teams, how they approach things differently. Maybe they do end up getting William Contreras a bag and he can stay for a little bit longer. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen, but I was going to maybe throw that out as a prediction. I think I'll use it here on the bingo card.
So you're teasing it. You're testing it out.
I think I've burned it now. I don't think it can be on my predictions table.
Similar to Sydney Sweeney and an unknown member of Milwaukee Brewers soft launch.
It's Caleb Durbin. That's the one. Okay. All right. Close us down. Give us the last square on our bingo card. Right. I'm waiting.
You ready?
I'm ready. I know what you're going to say. I can't do it. We can't.
Aaron Ashby gets Cy Young.
You're so stupid. You're so stupid. I can't talk to you. That's so stupid. First of all, you know what? I can't.
Why not this year?
First of all, can we, on a technicality, I mean, we'd have to wait until November to know if we've got a bingo, right? Because he'll That's certainly fine. Be in the conversation of having That's a site. I can't believe this is the stupidest bit that it just keeps coming up. Aaron Ashby getting Cy Young votes. Can you make this happen? Can you talk to him and be like, Aaron, we need you this year to really step up for the bingo card?
If I was going to make it happen, JR, I would have made it happen last year when I had a Cy Young vote.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, Aaron Ashby, Cy Young votes. Once again, rears its ugly head. The real ones know, the long-term microbrew fans know that this is just the well that you cannot quit.
If he starts this year.
He might. That's like on the table for sure.
Well, what if he doesn't? He's like the most valuable reliever in Major League Baseball. I mean, the guy was on, like, for the final 4 months last year, was on a pace to throw like 110 innings.
He has to be transcendent as a reliever to get Cy Young votes. I mean, like, Josh Hader doesn't even get Cy Young votes.
Yeah, Josh Hader probably got Cy Young votes.
He probably did.
I voted for Ryan Helsley 1 year.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we've done it. Do you have any other strays that you were going to maybe throw in that you didn't end up using?
Yes.
Oh my God. I can't believe we're doing Aaron Ashby Cy Young votes again.
Not a ton, honestly. I used my good ones. The offense sets a modern record for fewest runs in a 10 game stretch.
That's plausible.
That'd be pretty funny.
It would be. Yeah, it would be. I did it.
That's going to be like 5 runs. 4 runs?
I left a couple run-of-the-mill ones on the table. I had Fan winning a Toyota. The Toyota, you know. Like,
and they actually honor it this year.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I had one at-bat for Jesus Mate in 2026, which I do think is a long shot, but possible, okay. Plausible. And then I had Caleb Durbin playing shortstop for a game. Also plausible, unlikely, but plausible. I mean, that would require some injuries, I think, but it's very doable. I mean, Joey Ortiz, like, one thing you could say about him is that man has been durable. Like, he had all that injury stuff 2 years ago, and then last year he played all the time. But
yeah, a little stint on the IL there.
Yeah, a little. That's true. But when Andrew Monasterio became the starting shortstop for a while, we're like, well, they got to do something else. Like, nope, just Andrew Monasterio. But Ortiz. I don't know what we're going to see with Joey Ortiz. That's probably one of the storylines of the first 2 months of the season. All right, we've done it. We have a bingo card.
You're going to make a bingo card. I'm going to make it, not now, because we're recording Microbrew after dark, and your boy's got to go to bed.
Oh, yeah, I'm real tired, too. We'll post this up, though, and get, you know, we're a few days away from spring training. Todd Rosiak, our colleague, again, is going to be down there. Find everything he has at jsonline.com, and we're going to get going. We've got some preseason baseball with World Baseball Classic. Honestly, your sports fix should be in pretty good shape right about now. I mean, not counting the Milwaukee Bucks, but the Winter Olympics are about to get underway. You've got spring training after that. We have, for when the football season is over, this is usually a tough time of year, and it's going to be all right. We're going to make it through. Any last thoughts, Kurt?
Aaron Ashby, this is the year.
I laugh so hard because I think you're serious. I think you really believe it. It's not just you saying the thing. You really believe Aaron Ashby at one of these years is going to get Cy Young votes. And you might be right.
Can you imagine the reaction when it happens?
Oh my God. When those votes come out,
it will be a parade.
This is like, you know, how people get into like prop bets and stuff, and they're cheering at really weird moments. You know, everyone's going to be like, your Cy Young winner is, I don't know, Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, then you and I are going to be there waiting for those ballots to show up. And there's one vote next to Aaron Ashby's name, and we're going to lose our minds. He's going to finish like 15th or 16th in the Cy Young voting. And we're going to lose our minds. Someday, Kurt, the prophecy of an Aaron Ashby Cy Young vote. It is in the pipeline, and someday you'll realize it.
A good Taylor Swift song. Maybe someone uses that for a
walk-up song. A walk-up song. That's right. Yes. All right. We're done. We've given you all kinds of absurdities and frivolities. Please make it stop. We're going to be back, though. We got a predictions episode, a real one. That'll be coming up very shortly. And then I'll be chatting with Todd down in Arizona. I will not physically be there, but he will. And we'll find out what he's seeing, what he's hearing, who he's talking to, things of that nature. Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Micro Brew. We will chat with you again very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.